Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Tears of the Kingdom special edition of the Zelda Universe podcast. We have a little bit of a unique setup, which I find kind of funny to say because we just started with a new setup and now we have this setup, but we have a new game, so many things to talk about, and figured the best way to do it is just to sit down and blab about how much we love this game for a little while. Joining me on the podcast today, we have Cody.
Howdy.
Elias.
Howdy.
And Joshua.
Howdy.
My name is Connor. Howdy. Apparently that is the official greeting now.
It's a 7 of 10 howdy. Better than Cody's.
I grew up on the opposite side of the country from Texas, so my howdy is very, very rough.
That also explains why it's better than Cody's.
I only grew up in the Texas of the South.
Isn't that just Texas?
Maybe rethink how you describe Australia.
Well, look, in America, you probably consider Texas to be the South, but to me,
it is in fact the South. Yes,
it is extremely north.
Maybe call it the Texas of the Southern Hemisphere.
The South. It's the South of
otherwise known as the South.
All right. So, at time of recording of this podcast, we are 2 weeks to the day that Tears of the Kingdom was released. And so just kind of a general perspective about how much time have you logged into Tears of the Kingdom at this point?
Why you got to call me out like this? Hang on.
Grab your switches, ladies and gentlemen.
So my switch is not within arm's reach, unfortunately. My estimate is that I have about 80 hours, probably.
I don't know when the last time this updated was, but I have played for over 135 hours.
Holy cow. Yeah, I've been balancing it with other things, so I've only played for about 75 hours.
Yeah.
My gosh, I suddenly feel horribly underqualified. I've only played for 54, and I thought I was doing like
I will now be leading this discussion.
Dang it, I'm not qualified anymore.
I played about 54. Well, the thing is with me, I did the launch weekend stream on the ZU Twitch. So I played every weekend hour for Thursday night all the way till Sunday night, and then worked Monday and then finished up the story on Monday night on the channel. So that whole segment was about 54, 55 hours. I could tell.
Okay, yeah, I was very story-focused, and as a general disclaimer for everybody who may be listening, this is as spoiler-free as we can feasibly make it. We are not going to be discussing specific story beats. However, since we are talking about what it is like playing this game, we will be talking on things that have happened, and our conversation may stray into what you may consider spoiler territory. So you have officially been warned.
Yep.
Howdy.
Howdy. So I want to start off with a discussion about the environment. This is the second time that we have had a setting that is very, very similar to a place that we've been to before. And one of the few direct sequels we've ever had in the franchise, and the only time where those two have actually matched up. It's the same Link, the same Zelda, the same Hyrule.
You could argue that A Link Between Worlds was a direct sequel just 25 years later and with different Link and Zelda, yeah.
Potentially. But still, this is the same Link and the same Zelda, which completely changes kind of how we're looking at it. So what was it like? What's it like coming back to this Hyrule in a lot of ways for at the very least the second or the third time, if you think about it, if you can take Age of Calamity into account?
It doesn't feel like the same.
Yeah, they in my opinion with this game have done a very good job of balancing familiarity with new stuff, and that applies to a lot of aspects of the game, but in particular, the land of Hyrule itself, the environments, the areas, like, you know, for the most part, like you look top down at the Hyrule overworld and it looks pretty identical until you start squinting at it from Breath of the Wild's map. But then you actually are in it and live in it and explore in it. And, you know, all the ancillary areas have been added to the game that were not in Breath of the Wild. It's feels very, like I said, feels different, but also has that hint of familiarity.
Yeah, like I agree, but like I was gonna say, like you go to a place, like going to Lookout Landing, you know, like one of my first gut reactions to that was they chopped down all the trees around my sacred ceremonial place. But so it's like you recognize something, but then it's like the moment I left Lookout Landing and even just went into Central Hyrule, it was just kind of like, I don't recognize any of this. It doesn't seem the same. Like, I know it is.
Because you go into Central Hyrule and don't immediately fear for your life anymore.
Perhaps. But I feel like the whole game has been that way, right? Like, I spent a lot of time on the Great Plateau, and it just didn't feel the same. It just all seemed very different, even though I knew I was in a place I'd already been to that had just been altered. You know, all they did is, like, melt the snow. And suddenly it felt more new than I expected.
Did anybody else feel like actually a bit of disconcern? Like I felt confused and awkward a lot of the time. It was just like, I know this place. I've been here. Why do I feel like I haven't been here? I feel very conflicted.
I mean, I think it shows the passage of time, right? Like it is a direct sequel, but it's clear. And the more, you know, quests and stuff you do, it gets clearer how much time has passed, right? And as a result of that, like we're now dealing with an actual adult Link in Zelda as a result, mm-hmm. right? Which is extremely refreshing.
Yeah, they're not only 120 anymore.
They're not technical adults anymore. They're actual physical adults.
They're emotional adults.
But, you know, passage of time, years have passed, right? So you go to any place, you know, even if I just walk down the street, it's going to look different in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's fun to even see because it's not just the same Link and same Zelda. It's the same Jeff from the stables, you know, like just random NPCs and stuff from Breath of the Wild are wandering around in this world and they've got new jobs or there's something new happening. And it's just fun to see. Even these minor NPCs that I barely recognize because I was like, oh, you asked me to get some spices once at a stable. And here you are at Lookout Landing.
Look at you. You're doing well for yourself.
Look at you with your little cooking pot helmet. As far as I can calculate, and then it's just guesstimations from the changes that we do see, we're looking at about, I think, 6 to 8 years of difference.
From what I can tell, it's something over 5-ish.
Okay.
I have a specific data point of reference for that.
Okay. That's about what I was feeling. I don't have a data point. It felt like 5 to 7 years mm-hmm. to me. I mean, like there are characters for sure, major characters that return that have grown up more. And so you can kind of guesstimate based on that. But
yeah.
But then you throw in weird things about fantasy races not aging at the same way. And it's
yeah,
like,
that kind of falls apart with Rito and yeah, Zora and Sheikah.
Right.
But...
it's like,
yeah. And
if we find a Hylian,
right.
Or I guess maybe Gerudo is similar enough to Hylian, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not even clear on what the aging situation is with the Gorons.
No age, just rock.
Just rocks.
It's funny because just a tiny tangent, you know, I played a Goron on our Realms game and I had to look into like, how do Gorons exist? Like what is this like? And I couldn't find anything, just a bunch of fan theories on our forums, which,
there's nothing.
But in this game, yeah. They kind of touch on it. I was like, oh, that would have been good to know when I was making that character.
Yep. No age, just carbon dating.
That's why they eat rock, so they can build up their rock mass.
This Goron is from the Cretaceous period.
So if you listening out there have any ideas on Goron reproduction and life cycles, be sure to Join our forums at zeldauniverse.net/forum.
I mean, if you want me to spoil a particular quest, I can just give you the answers right now.
I am actually interested, so maybe give it that information off the podcast. What place have you enjoyed the most?
How much are we spoiling areas here?
It's as long as the area is not specific to any particular story spoilers. By the time this comes out, the game will have been out for about a month. So.
The entire subterranean area. That was the thing that consistently distracted me as I went through. And even when I was just like, I should make story progress, cut to spend 5 hours in the depths just doing random stuff, exploring, and just like that to me was an unexpected surprise.
Yeah, the depths, like, I would not say the depths is my favorite part by any means, but I agree that it is extremely distracting. It's like every time I've come across a chasm, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally gonna jump down this, and I'll just find one light route so that I can teleport back later. And then I end up spending like 3 hours down there. And then I look at the map and I'm like, I walked in a circle and I didn't even really go anywhere.
I've done nothing.
That I wasn't even trying to do anything down there. The underground seemed like end game to me. And I wanted to keep on the story. So I avoided anything that looked remotely like end game. But still, I did the same thing where it's like, okay, I got to go down here. And I got to find this spot. Where is this spot? And then I finally look at the map and it's like, how did I get over here? What happened? I swear I was going in a circle.
Yeah, so my answer is the opposite. It's the sky.
A Skyward Sword fan, I see.
I got an outfit fairly early on that allows me to glide with more precision as I fall. And so my primary method of travel has become going to a tower, launching myself up into the air, and then skydiving/glidering to, you know, some sky island where I find a glider or something, and then I attach a rocket to it, or three rockets to it, and, you know, continue on my way through the sky. And that's how, you know, that's how I managed to unlock all the towers and stuff relatively early. It's just like I became a sky wizard who can traverse the sky at maximum speed, and it's been a lot of fun.
I kind of do the same thing, but I skipped the sky islands. Like, I also prioritized unlocking all the towers because that's different points in the map. I can be launched into the air. But then I would glide to other parts on the actual land faster because it was path of least resistance. I could just fall there instead of having to traverse up a mountain or something.
I avoided so much stuff simply because it's like, you know, I'm going to fly over all of this. This is perfect. I see Gleon. No, thank you. Whee!
I just said how many hours I've uplogged in, but just today I was exploring a region which I had basically flown over the entire time, like a little small little area. And I just noticed like a big change from like Breath of the Wild in that region that is fairly noticeable if you actually stop and look. But I had just never noticed. And I was just like, oh, wow, they did. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Where did this
if you're not
from?
On a plane overhead, you can notice.
Exactly.
Yeah, so like I actually I've been playing the opposite. Like, I'm still missing like 6 towers. I don't have a bunch of the towers, and they're not all like connected into one region of the world either. I have like a diagonal line revealed down the map. Yeah, and like I know what armor you're talking about, but I don't have it yet. And I do still launch from towers. And when I went and did my first dungeon, that's what I did. I launched from a tower and I just used stamina, food, and a glider and flew there. I was just sort of like, it's time to do a dungeon. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to make sure nothing can distract me. And I just flew straight over to it. And then it still took 7 hours or something just to get through the main quest stuff to do it. But yeah, like, I do really enjoy the little sky islands I've gotten to. Multiple times I've tried to get to sky islands and failed. And then I just end up falling somewhere. But it's always worthwhile anyway. It's like, no matter where I end up falling, it's like, oh, here's a cave. Oh, here's a shrine. Oh, here's... Like, it feels like no part of the game is actually empty. Which is a big change from Breath of the Wild. I'm not 100% on whether that's a positive change or not, because I kind of like some of the emptiness. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of the emptiness is gone.
It's a change. They've been trying to recover, and so that's going to lead to that kind of stuff. I'm actually in between all of you. I like being on the surface. I run everywhere. I forget that my horse is a thing. I'm on foot. I'm climbing stuff. And just trying to take everything in. This is a Hyrule that I love. And like I said, it was really like, wait, I thought I knew this place. Wait, what's over here? Oh, that's new. What's happening?
It's a lot harder to use horses when you don't have that DLC armor that just makes it teleport to you. That, yeah. Breath of the Wild had.
I got so used to, I ran through Breath of the Wild Master Mode right before the release, and I got so used to just whistle sprinting everywhere. So I could just sprint for days with I could just go fast anywhere, no horse, no anything. And of course they fixed that in this game. So I'm just like, I feel so slow on the ground. And sometimes I remember to bring my horse with me to an area, but then I dismount and get distracted and go somewhere else. And suddenly I'm, you know, an acre away from my horse.
I did the same thing playing Breath of the Wild right before release. And I almost wish I hadn't, just because it's just so much open and so long time. It's like I'm almost open worlded out for a little bit.
I do not feel this way.
Yeah, I don't feel that way either, but I replayed it over like a 6 month span. Mm. Just streaming it a couple hours a week. And so there was, I knew I wanted to finish the game right before Tears of the Kingdom came out. And so I knew there was a lot of the game I didn't actually see in any real capacity, right? It was sort of just going around in a circle doing the main quest, occasionally getting distracted.
You'd done that before, you know, so you were just like refreshing your memory.
Yeah.
Right. And just, and hitting some key points, right?
Yeah.
And so like, I didn't get burned out on it or anything.
That's my general problem. I'm so story focused that it's just like story beat. I got to find it. What's going on?
Yeah. And it's like the two of you, at least, I don't know if Cody had or not, have finished the main story, and I'm not, like, I have seen a lot of the main story. I don't know if we're spoiling this or not, but there are cutscenes you can watch.
There are cutscenes in the video game. There are cutscenes in the video game, confirmed.
So, like, I have seen most of those. There's, I guess, a couple you get differently I don't have. So I've seen that, but I don't know how the story actually ends, other than presumably it's not everybody dies.
We assume that the hero wins.
But
bold assumption.
I know.
Yeah.
For a Zelda game in particular.
I'm assuming it ends like a Zelda game,
full empire.
Oh gosh.
That's what Age of Calamity was supposed to be. And they chickened out.
It wasn't. You know what?
I just made it an alternate ending where everything was happy.
It's like, nah, we're gonna start a timeline set.
Oh, please. No Zelda's ever cared about the structure of the time-space continuum. Speaking of breaking time, though, let's talk about the new abilities that we have obtained. Not necessarily how we get them, but just what they are and what
hand powers.
Hand powers, yes.
I have dubbed them hand powers because they're all derived from, at least they seem to be derived from, this fancy new arm and hand that Link has. And I mentioned that and everyone started laughing at me. Is there an official term for this thing?
I actually don't know the answer.
Powers of the hand.
Because unless I get an official name, I'm just calling them hand powers.
You know,
I don't think there's a name for the collective group. I just think they each have a name.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. At the beginning of the game, there is a character that reveals themselves to be why you have that arm, and the game actually gives them the title Source of the Right Arm.
Yeah. What tells you anything else?
We just, I guess they are just right arm powers or something.
Which makes them sound like a Dark Souls boss or something. You know, like Source of the Right Arm is a really cool subtitle to have appear under you on your name.
That would have been really cool. It's like, in order to know that you have mastered these powers, you must fight me.
It's kind of how the Breath of the Wild DLC was like.
It is.
Yeah. The second one.
There are multiple sky islands that I suspect have mini bosses on them, and every time I see them on the map, I'm just like, this just looks like the platform I fought Maz Koshy on. I keep thinking I'm just going to go there and I'm just going to get attacked by him.
These crickety joints.
I mean, it's if Breath of the Wild is any indication, death awaits you all. How many times have you all died?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, a lot.
Is there a way to see that information? Like, I have not been keeping count.
Unless you kind of like how with Breath of the Wild, you were able to get the ability to see where your path went.
Oh yeah, the nearest path would tell you.
I kept track during my
streams, and I ended at 15. But I was also very like, oh, this thing looks like it can kill me. I'm gonna leave.
I've heard people reporting their exact numbers, but I'm not sure where it's from. It might be some sort of like post finishing the game save file number or something that shows up, but I'm not clear on where they're getting those numbers. But yeah, I've died a bunch because early in the game was like, well, who cares if I have three hearts? I'm just gonna wander, you know, like finding a Bokoblin and fighting a Lionel are the same thing if you've got three hearts and no armor.
Yeah.
They'll kill you in one hit regardless. And so I was like, well, why not fight the Lionel? All I need to do is just not get hit. You know, so I died a lot.
You're not wrong. All you need to do is not die.
Yeah. My first death was to the first like in the game.
Oh my gosh.
I decided to throw a bomb flower at it. And I was standing too close and blew myself up.
That will always kill you.
I died multiple times because I was skydiving without a paraglider and face planted Link on things I thought were water and turned out to be like the shadows of clouds. And one of the early towers is surrounded by a big Bokoblin camp, and I probably died 10 times there because I was having too much fun with like explosives and just blowing myself up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've died probably 50 times just because I was screwing around.
So the bomb arrows sort of situation, I still haven't learned my lesson in going to very hot areas and not trying to shoot bomb arrows because they explode immediately when you pull them out and hurt you. And I was like, who's attacking me? And I need to stop pulling out bomb arrows in the middle of a volcano.
I did that over and over in Breath of the Wild, and so I kind of learned my lesson already. Oh gosh. Something that I really had to learn with this game that I did not have to worry about as much in Breath of the Wild was resource usage. Because you are using everything in Tears of the Kingdom infinitely more than I ever did in Breath of the Wild. They took the fusion ability, which was, I thought, just watching from before, I was like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. I'm just going to see what they do. And it's like, no, this is how you do everything. You use everything you find, and we're giving you nothing else.
Yeah, it's one of the main hand powers, right? Is weapon fusion, which I forget mm-hmm. the name of exactly. But fuse. Like, it's all the weapons are like, if you compare them to their counterparts in Breath of the Wild, like bad. They're bad versions. And so it's on you to make them better in whatever way, shape, or form you have based on the resources that you've collected over time. So I think in order to drive that mechanic home, they sort of underpowered you on purpose so that you can power yourself.
Yeah, I really like experimenting with it, actually, that, you know, they give you a stick and it's like, well, the demonstrations beforehand are like, you can put a rock on the stick, or what if you just put two sticks together? But when you actually get into the game, you start putting horns from enemies on and you actually get like cool looking swords you would get in some other RPG or something. And then it's like, well, I put a diamond on my big stick, and now I have this really cool diamond sword. And you
remind
can,
me to show like, you my arsenal after this.
Yeah. And so it's like there's, you just get a whole bunch of different horns and parts and such, and you can just make a bunch of neat stuff. So I just try different things to just see what it looks like when I'm done.
And
with
a bunch of questionable stuff too. Like you can get a stick and you can attach a bow to it and use it as a melee weapon and just beat people with the bow.
You can attach bokoblin guts at the end and who knows what happens.
Just watch it pulsate.
And the things you can attach to your shield are the same as the anything you can attach to a sword, you can also attach to a shield.
Did anybody else make the mistake of fusing a rock to your shield and then try to shield surf on it?
Yeah, I've done it.
No, but a rock type surface I have, and I learned that much, much later.
But if you want,
I don't shield surf that often, though.
Yeah. If you want to fuse a bomb, for example, to your shield, you can do the classic Ocarina of Time speedrunning techniques.
Oh, now. I thought you were going somewhere else with that. I was going to say it's the classic Zelda cartoon. The classic Zelda cartoon move where Link puts a bomb and
that's the one. I don't know.
You can do that in this game, just not with a bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, you use it with an explosive barrel.
You can attach, because one of the main new things in this game is the Zonite artifacts.
Zonite devices.
And it's Zonite devices, and they're just extra things that you can attach to. You can use them on their own, or you can use them in devices, but you can also attach them to your shield or your weapon, and be like, here, I'll put a spring on this shield, and then when I jump on it, I'll be able to spring up, you know, or I'll put a rocket on my shield or all this kind of thing. Or I'll put a flamethrower on my stick and turn it into a sort of magic wand that shoots fire. And there's a lot of interesting combinations that you can make out of these devices. And I think that's really interesting too.
The things people have been able to make with those devices.
Oh, yeah. It's
absolutely mind-blowing.
I mean, we haven't really gotten into it yet, but to me, it's the equivalent of adding redstone to Minecraft.
Yep.
Which, for those who are unfamiliar with Minecraft, it's basically what enables programming in Minecraft.
It's circuitry in Minecraft.
And that sort of thing. And so that's why you see people in Minecraft being like, oh, here's my working replica of the USS Enterprise or whatever. Which I'm sure.
I mean, we laugh, but I have seen a literal TIE fighter, so.
Yeah, and that's because they enabled just basically the bare basics of like, here's a binary operation thing of like, here's a switch that can be on or off, and when it's on, it's powered. And just with that basic stuff, people have been able to turn Minecraft into just like, oh, I've made a video game inside this video game. I've gotten Doom working or whatever in Minecraft. And Tears of the Kingdom has only been out for 2 weeks, and we're already seeing Gundams, basically, and like space carriers that shoot out smaller drone fighters that explore autonomously, and this sort of thing. And this is 2 weeks out. In five
There's
years.
There's got to be like a forum thread on our forums at this point of just like share your build, right? Like,
yeah,
oh, please. If that isn't, if you're listening and you do that, if that's not a thing, start it. We want to see all of those.
I found all the cells, and so I'm ready to make the most energy inefficient devices from everyone.
I've seen I think today I first witnessed a combine harvester. I'm not even joking. They were using it to farm rice. I saw several different torture chambers, one for Koroks, another for actual monsters.
It was the same thing.
Have you seen the one where they created basically a laser board where, like, you know, the lasers are sort of shooting out from, like, you know, in a grid? And then they set that up against the wall of a cave, and then they came near, and then all the keys came out in groups of like 50.
Oh,
and they all got fried by the laser device.
No, Harry, no, don't look at the lights.
That's a fantastic idea. I need to add that my collection.
See, I haven't experimented with it that much. Like
I've just been building better fan planes, basically, to get around, and that's most of the extent of what I've been doing.
Like,
that's
gotten super creative with it. I was gonna say, like, I like how some of the Zoni devices and using them with Ultra Hand Infused together. Excuse me. How they kind of replace some of the traditional Zelda items in ways. Mm-hmm. Some of the Zoni devices are kind of mid-late game before you see them, so I don't want to get real specific with them. But it's like last night I did a shrine where you used fans to blow sand away the way that you would use like the Gust Bellows and Skyward Sword. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of like, now that we have these kind of environmental things we can put on a shield or just one of the enemies had one on a sword that you just swung the fan around to use wind like that. It's like, now that we have this stuff, you don't really need a permanent like item to switch to all the time because you can just make that item when you want it.
Even the Korok leaf from Breath of the Wild became a material in this one instead of a weapon,
right.
Mm-hmm. Which you can then fuse to weapons or fuse to whatever you want. You can use that to, you know, do whatever.
And so, but yeah, I was like, there's other stuff. I'm thinking like there's a Zoni device I first encountered going up to Death Mountain in the fire dungeon area that replaces what some other Zelda games would do. There was another one I was really excited about last night. I encountered in Gerudo Desert for the first time that was a mechanic that has been missing from Zelda for a long time. Trying to not spoil all these things.
Right? Yeah, I like how you're starting to talk ambiguously about devices now.
Yeah, well, it's just because some of the devices that you get up front, right? Like you see a wing and a fan and a rocket and a flame emitter like within the first hour. But a lot of these is like, I've played the game for like 80 hours and I'm finding new ones. And like one I don't mind spoiling, like there's little stakes, right? That you can just stick in things.
Oh, those were so cool when I figured those out.
I had encountered those a long time ago. I literally just picked up my first capsule one tonight. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen them over and over and over in shrines, but I had never had one in my inventory to play with.
That for me was the control stick. I went to every little bubblegum machine looking for dispensing control sticks, just to be like, please, I need to just have these to use. And I couldn't, and finally got it. But
really? I have so many control stands. I have like 19 or something like that.
I do now. Yeah,
like,
but
I have a bunch now too. I must have just gone to the right island that had the right dispenser early on. I really like how some of the, like, you can build a mech with it, but it's also just like, this just replaces some of the items we're missing that might be gone forever, and that's okay because we have a new version now.
The thing that I love most about what these do, and particularly with how Ultra Hand, you're moving things around and fusing them together in specific positions, it's made all of the, practically all of the shrines, a lot of the dungeon stuff, and a whole bunch of things in the overworld just physics puzzles. I love physics. And so it's like, oh, here's this person who's putting up a sign. We got to make sure the sign stays up. How do we do that? And you're just figuring out, okay, it's moving this way. I got to balance it this way.
Addison, the sign guy, is the best character in this
game. Love Addison. But man, despite being such a fan of construction stuff, he is horrible at it.
He's so incompetent. Why would anyone like him?
An extra pair of hands to hold the sign up.
Yeah,
extra pair of hands.
If that were true, it would be easier to help him.
Sheets of wood.
I mean, the best characters in this game. I mean, I don't know if it's a spoiler. They were in Breath of the Wild, but the Yiga clan are just the funniest people in Hyrule.
They're the best comic troupe in Hyrule.
They are, in fact, the best comic troupe.
Every time I encounter them, I'm surprised, right? Like, they show up in places I don't expect multiple times.
They have gotten to the point of where,
even to the point of where, like, I know that if I talk to somebody in certain areas and it just says, I'm a researcher, like, this is totally a Yiga person.
And then the researcher...
Because they always show up when I don't expect it.
And then the researcher's like, oh, I'm doing some research. I need you to take off all of your armor. And I'm like, come on. Come on, you Glenn.
You're trying so hard and yet so incompetently. You're like Team Rocket. Except now that there are rockets, so now they need to start implementing rockets into their things, and yet they don't. They just use the same weapons, and it's like, oh my gosh. Get creative, man. This is why everyone, no one takes you seriously.
Yeah, I think seeing when the enemies do use the fusion mechanic and that sort of stuff, too. Like, it's mostly, I think it's the constructs.
Like those captain, construct captains? Yeah. They annoy me. Because of that.
Well, I always love it when enemies start using your own mechanics against you. It's like, oh, this is a physics world that they also have the ability to do physics. And so, but yeah, it's just all around, this is a game that in 10 years, I don't think the depths will have been plumbed as to what you can achieve with this game. And I definitely understand now why this game was ready to go a year ago and Nintendo said, let's give it another year to like iron out all these physics and everything.
Like, yeah, so I mean, Ultra Hand seems remarkably bug free. Like it feels like it should be way jankier than it is.
I've only seen one real exploitable bug.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it was very exploitable, but also very minor in the fact that like they were easily patched it. You know, so it's
Mm-hmm. Well, since it's already been patched, are we okay to talk about it? Does it sound like people can use it?
Well, the update came out as of today, but it was an item duplication glitch, which is very very abusable. Wow.
I saw another glitch that I don't think was as easy to do and use something you had to unlock, but basically they found a way to use even something as simple as like a plank of wood and an apple. They could go really, really, really fast, just like zoom across the whole world.
That's amazing. I need to try that.
And,
yeah, when the speedruns come out, I am going to be glued to my screen watching the GDQ.
For 10 minutes.
15-minute speedruns of this game, because even in Breath of the Wild, like, because Breath of the Wild was this to a lesser extent, like, it still had all this stuff. Like, speedruns still involved attaching yourself to a log and then flying at max speed on your log across Hyrule. But this is a game that's built so that you will fly at max speed around on a log. Like, it's like, go for it. So the things that will be exploited by speedrunners are going to be wild. Like, what kind of machine they're going to create.
The current world record for this game is just over an hour.
Two weeks.
So yeah. Oh my gosh. To beat the game.
To be perfectly honest, I did not realize that you can, just like in the original game, and just like in Breath of the Wild, as soon as you get off the trial
area, complete the tutorial, go beat the game.
Go beat the game right now if you want. And I'm just like, oh.
If you want to.
Oh, I mean.
They made it a little more.
The main story, good flipping luck.
Cumbersome, but you get what you need.
I believe I have been very near where the final boss is. There was something I really wanted to see. And yeah, you could do it immediately, but it seems like it would be significantly more difficult than Breath of the Wild made it.
Yes, it is suicide.
I had work today, but maybe over the weekend I'm gonna look at these speedruns to see, like, they gotta have a strategy, right? Mm-hmm. to survive the end of the game that early on, like, so
yeah,
I'm curious.
Now, watching other people do stuff has been really helpful for me, and just considerations of things that I didn't think of that are just like use of your basic powers. Yeah. Like
rewind was so underused for me until I started watching people solve things with it. I'm like, oh yeah, that would make it so easy. I need to
recall it. Like,
I've broken
recall
so
is...
many shrines with rewind because all you have to do is use your hands to like lift a platform up, bring it back down. You stand on the platform, you use rewind, and it lifts the platform up. And it's like, you know, you can rewind your own stuff.
usually have only, for the most part, I only used it when I had screwed up royally. I was like, no, wait, come back.
And the thing is, you can use it for that, for really good things too, right? Like I had down in the depths are very mountainous, right? I built a car at one point that I kept for like 2 hours because even though it was mountainous, I would drive it. And if the hill got too steep and it tumbled down the mountain, I would just finish climbing up the mountain and then hit recall on it and bring it back up to me and grab it.
It's so crazy how there's like, it seems like there's no limit on the range. It's just
recall seems to have basically no range as long as it is on this frozen screen. Yeah.
Ultra hand, on the other hand,
is very, very, yeah, that one
does have a range. And it is,
I was also going to say, talking about like breaking shrines, at the beginning of the game, I played for hours without the paraglider. There was a shrine that I'm certain they intended you to have the paraglider for, and I didn't know where to get it. I assumed, like Breath of the Wild, that they would just give me everything I needed to beat the game. So this shrine must be beatable without the paraglider, because they wouldn't make it unbeatable. That's not true. You definitely need it for some shrines. But this shrine, I was able to just use what we're talking about. I took a fan you were supposed to glide from and just made a platform that flew around where I needed it to go, and did the shrine without it.
I'm kind of curious if you do need the paraglider to do all the shrines.
I'm confident I have done at least 2 shrines that I don't think, like, people are crazy, right? Maybe I'm wrong.
I think the bigger challenge will be
with my imagination. I couldn't do it without the paraglider,
because I'm imagining in these speedruns we're talking about, they probably don't get it.
No, probably not, because you got to do if I'm remembering the
there's
process,
a few things you have to figure out, I'm sure, but
yeah, there's a few things and a few people you got to talk to, and that's just time you're killing.
But no, recall I think was leading into the game probably the one, and maybe with Ascend too, people were just not super excited about it.
I love Ascend
is phenomenal, yeah, but yeah, like I think lots of people are underestimating recall, and I've said that lots of places in the last 2 weeks to people. Just don't underestimate that ability.
Recall's always the last thing I think about when I think about solutions to puzzles. Like it's just like, oh, this is impossible. How am I supposed to? Oh, wait, it's going back. I see.
Yeah, no, recall is the most powerful ability you have, but also the one that requires the most imagination to make use of. Like Ascend is just valuable. Just like the new
movement,
level of traversal,
which is why I like it. Yeah.
The new level of traversal. I mean, it's good for some puzzles and stuff too. Like they've started doing things like there's a locked house. How is anyone going to get in there? Let's climb in underneath in the well or whatever and find.
What's this? A cave under the house?
A cave under the house.
Brilliant.
You know, and so there's some puzzle stuff for it too, but mostly it's just a sign of like the ways that exploration has gotten even more just do whatever you want. Like it used to be people were like, oh, it's raining, I can't get up. And it's like, well, why don't you just create a hot air balloon out of your inventory and fly into the sky then? Is what that this game tells you, you know?
It's kind of crazy. Instead of, they took the thing that everyone hated, it was like one of the most frequently voiced frustrations. It was like, oh, okay, well, instead of just removing it, let's see how you can get around it. And we have several ways that you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can attach a Korok to a rocket and then attach the rocket to a platform.
And
the Korok's not necessary, but you do it anyway.
Ascend is the one that I have been the most proud of utilizing. Thinking in terms of three dimensions, despite the fact that it's, you know, open world, you go up and down all over the place, and we've been doing that for a while, thinking in that kind of three-dimensional space, creating passageways where there shouldn't be, quote-unquote, you end up getting very creative in that format. It's like, oh, there's no passage. I can make one, literally.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you use it and you end up places you don't expect, too. Like, I've been in some of the larger cave systems where I'm just like, I'm just going to use Ascend here and see where I go. And Sometimes you just think it's going to take you back to the surface, and it takes you to some other pocket of the cave system you had not been to yet. And then you're like, well, should I back out of this because I have no idea where this is taking me, or should I just go for it?
I love those moments.
Time I just go for it.
Yeah, it's like when you try to dig straight up in Minecraft.
I love it when you go up, you reach the top, you look around, and you're just like, nope.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, like, time is basically paused or whatever while you're in that, while you're in that little popping out of the ground, like the, what are they called in Skyward Sword? The little mole.
Magma. Guy?
Oh, the magma holes, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. Just the layers are really impressive here because they mean something. Like, even exploring the underground, it's useful for you sometimes to not be looking at the mini map of the underground, but looking at the map of the surface. And you can actually toggle that in the menus because it's like everything here, it's not just a bunch of separate areas. Like these are in location of each other. And that matters.
They're stacked.
Yeah.
They're literally stacked.
There are uses to see. At first, I did that on accident. I was like, oh, that's annoying. Why did they let you do that? And then it, like, 2 seconds later, like, wait, this is kind of useful because now I can see in relation to where I am going.
It's like, oh, this is where I am. Oh, this is where I am. And you suddenly start to see relationships between particularly the underground and the surface, but in some ways also the sky.
It's the most useful when you haven't uncovered the map for any of the three.
After I beat the game, my primary mission was, well, I did all the towers on the surface. I must activate every single light route underneath. And so I did. After much trial and tribulation.
Already?
Yeah.
We'll get there.
I needed a complete map, man.
I have like 15.
One of my friends, that's actually a couple of my friends, that's what they've done. Partially because the light routes are so...
There's a number of reasons to do it. There's a number of reasons to do it, but I had my own.
Yeah, I mean, exploring the depths, once you figure out your little machines that you like to use and stuff, because the depths also has little machine making booths. That's like, here's a glider, here's a rocket, here's some batteries, and, you know, lets you be creative in being like, how should I get around this world? Like, it's, you know, every aspect of it.
First time I found batteries, I was so excited. I was so excited. I was like, and all I did immediately was like plop them on a glider, and they were just worn out 10 seconds later. But it's like, I was so excited.
It took me forever to figure out where to actually increase your personal battery length. Even though you walk right by it in the beginning, I completely forgot about it. And so later on, it's just like, I know there's a place to do this. Where is it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I had a full 100 charges for it, and I had no idea what to do with it. And finally, someone told me where to go, and I felt really dumb.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's like they're trying to teach you all these things at the beginning, and then we promptly forget.
It's their fault. They made a world that was very distracting.
Stop putting so many shiny things in here, Nintendo. Why are you making such an attractive game?
I can't talk to all the NPCs in the town. There are a whole bunch of things not in the town to go do.
Well, we've kind of talked about the shrines already in relationship to the powers. I don't know if we have any additional thoughts we want to give to those. I think we're...
Hand powers.
The hand power, yes.
I mean, they serve the same purpose, I think, so far that I've seen anyway. I have put off a lot of shrines that they did in Breath of the Wild.
The shrines themselves seem to... There's
the puzzles about the hand powers, just like they were Sheikah Slate, you know, puzzles. Mm-hmm. I haven't come across any gyro puzzles, thank goodness. And then, you know, they help to power you up over time with, you know, stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the
shrine's gonna shrine.
I think the shrines are a big improvement over Breath of the Wild in a lot of ways.
I agree.
It's basically every shrine is a tutorial, for like a cool thing you can do with your power, basically, in a way that, you know, it was true to some extent in Breath of the Wild, but here there's a lot of like, oh, you could do that?
Well, I think that's just because the powers are more versatile here than they were in Breath of the Wild.
And they've gotten rid of some of the shrine types that were like the bad tests of strength and stuff that were just like boring. That's just like you're filling in 30 shrines here that you didn't have a puzzle for.
I am so glad those tests of strength are gone.
I missed them. They were easy.
I haven't found any.
Yeah, so. and
I mean, you still have ones where you kill things, but it's a little bit more of a puzzle kill than just a here's a thing, let's dodge it.
I've done fewer than half the shrines, so it's totally possible I'm going to get to that last one, and it's going to be like major test of strength.
As I understand things, I've done about a third of them. But that's because I've started, like, just in the name of exploration, like, finding a shrine, unlocking the warp point, moving on, which is something I barely did in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I basically never did that in Breath of the Wild, but I've been trying to not get too distracted too often. So, like, last night at one point I had 5 shrines on my map I had not done, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to stop and do these 5 shrines, just all get them done so I don't forget about them.
Might be a good idea. I'm hoping this time around, now that I'm fully storied, I want to get distracted. I want to explore everything. So that's what I'm looking forward to next time around. I would love to get into a discussion about story, but that we're going to...
So the way the game ends is...
The credits roll.
How dare you.
That's right. That's correct. The credits roll. The end.
The credits roll. There's a the end.
Spoiler alert. The game has credits.
Gasp!
No, they've credited the developers again.
How dare you give credits to the people who did such amazing work these past
six years.
And we are so grateful that they did. We will leave story discussion for another time when we have a little bit more opportunity for other people to play it and to appreciate what is or is not happening. For now, I think this is a good place for us to end this roundtable discussion. Cody, Elias, Josh, thank you so much for joining me on this fun little discussion.
Thanks for having us, Connor.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Do we howdy out? Is that how we're doing this now?
How do you howdy out?
I don't know. I'm not from Texas.
Please explain this.
Howdy out.
In other news, I'm quitting Zelda Universe.
Well, thank you all of you for listening to us go on for all this time about it. We hope you enjoy your run-throughs of Tears of the Kingdom. Please let us know how you're enjoying it and any cool discoveries that you have found in this gameplay. And we will catch you all in the next installment of ZUcast. Have yourselves a wonderful day.